Now you heard much of it. The concept of the remnants in the scripture is that it always bears a distinctive, not just one distinctive, but many distinctive features. So as it is in the scripture, so it is all through church history, because it's the remnant in the last days that God is going to work upon. He is already working. The very fact that they are remnants is the very proof that God is already at work and will continue to do so to the end of time. So one of the privileges that we have had, and this ministry have had, is how the Lord has connected us with the remnants in the nations. So now, I met Simon 10 years ago, almost actually, yeah, more than 10 years now, and with a whole group of other pastors and leaders. But when I met Simon, I met him in Kenya, outskirt of Kenya, for the conference of which he was one of the participants. So he came from Uganda. So I got to know him then. So 10 years later, this is my reconnection with Simon again, of which 10 years ago, after my trip in Kenya, Nairobi, I was invited to his church for about two and a half days. It was a short time. But it was a message that I preached that lingered in him for the last 10 years. We lost touch, you know, like Sut. I lost touch with her in Mongolia. And so these are some of the distinctive features that the Lord pay attention to. That when something is of such value to the Lord watches those values. And that value is going to extend to the point that the Lord is going to keep those relationships so that those values can be perpetrated. Those values can be worked upon. Those values can be developed. Those values can be matured. So the Lord is always looking for spiritual values in our lives. Our relationships in life is only as good as spiritual values are present. Otherwise, all of our relationships in life are meaningless. All right? Because God watches spiritual values in our relationship. So it's the same with husbands and wives, sons and daughters. My values with my family, my relationship with my family is as good as spiritual values are present in our relationships. And every time when spiritual values has been lost, it's only a matter of time that those relationships has lost meaning. It can be relationship, but it has really lost meaning long time ago. So like I always say, that relationally you may be husband and wife or sons and daughters or fathers and mothers, but the meaning of those relationships have died a long time ago. You can live together, husbands and wife, but when those relationships are not nurtured by spiritual values, they have lost meaning a long, long time ago. And so the Lord watches those spiritual values in our lives. And I think this is exactly what has happened with people like Simon, with Lawrence, with William, that Eugene and Adrian has the privilege to share. I remember returning years ago from Africa, and I told both of them while they were still a little bit younger. I said that one day when you touch the soil of Africa, I hope that you will sense that Africa is not like any other continent. not like any place on the face of the earth. And so truly, it took both of them more than about, 48 hours? Or past 2 or 3 days later to sense, as the meeting went on, they begin to sense that it is a place unlike any other place that they have been. And so it's proven true. Because, why is that so? Because I think there's something about that continent that's going to hold a very important place in the last days. Yeah, this is not just me. And I think this was the reason why when Art, who has only been to Africa for 4 times, by the way, and it was the last time that he was in Uganda, and he had the privilege of actually finally announcing to Simon and say that, I believe that this is my last trip to Africa. And strangely enough, the next year, the year that he said this, the next year, Art developed into a physical condition and had this vasculitis, and that was to spell his death, you know, not too long after that. But I remember that when we first saw him in Sabah, he made reference to the fact that he has just returned from Africa. And so it's remarkable that I can now, after this trip, my second trip now after 10 years, I can finally say, I was just telling them on the way back in the plane, I said that virtually we're returning here to reap what Art has sowed. You know, we didn't do anything. We just went there to reap what he has sowed. And Paul says that some are called to sow, some are called to reap. All right? And it's always, but the one who sows and the one who reaps shares the same label. No one is greater than the other. And it almost seems to think as if that, you know, every time when I think of Art doing what he did in Africa, and I'm just going there to reap what he has sown, give me a sense as if that, you know, he didn't see the fruits. I wish when we were talking in that circle in a very casual afternoon, stretching into 4:30, it's almost like we were in tears, because I said to Eugene, I said, you know, I wish Art was here to see the fruits, you know. And, you know, he told me personally, because I think one of the things that, one of our parting words with me, between me and him in Minnesota, was that I said, Art, I'm heading towards Africa next year. And he looked at me and says, am I encouraged to know that you're going there? And he wrote me a letter, actually, one of the final mails that he gave to me concerning my trip to Africa. I can't phrase it the way he wrote it, but he said it so beautifully. And he said something like, he said that there is something to be received in the fellowship of brethren of such a kind, because he was making reference to the fact that a Gentile and a Jew, and soon it will be a Chinese Gentile too, with an African. And you all know that, you know, the African continent has always been a race that has been destined to be servants of all servants. All right? And the descendants of Ham, is that right? So they are meant to be servants of all servants. And it's almost as if that however you pour into the continent of Africa, Africa continue to remain to be in servitude. And they continue to languish in poverty, in disease, in sickness, in war, in violence, in totalitarian regimes. They continue to languish in dictatorships. And to this very day as we speak, it is still a continent that is, you know, in such affliction. And but it is in this kind of a setting that God is not through with the people yet. Yes, they are what seems to be by fruits, by virtue of what have happened in their ancestry. But God has so purposed it, because again, with the whole dynamics of the kingdom. How many of you know that it took an Ethiopian black man to rescue Jeremiah in his final days as Israel's prophet? It was the Ethiopian servant, the black servant. Ethiopia means Africa. It was a black man. It was a black servant that became, a channel of blessing to God's prophet in the last days. So I remember that one of Art's final message to the church, a particular church in America, was to a black community. Was his last message in America was preach in a black church. And he said to me, because he preached having to sit down, he couldn't stand no more because of his physical condition. And this was his last message. He says that he didn't even know how prophetic it was, that he believed that the black community, the African-American people in the last days, as it will be even Africa as a nation, but the African-American in America will be strategic in the last days for what God is going to do in America, that there will be a people. He reckoned that the entire South of America is going to lip up in fire. Of the racial issues and the whole, wounds that have never healed between the whites and the blacks in America. He believed that in the last days, we're going to see an exponential explosion of a kind. That he believes that the black church or the African-American church is going to hold the key to what God will be doing in those last days. So he's always believed, as it was not only just for America, but even for Africa. So his words to those men and women like Simon and Lawrence, who saw him, 12, 14 years ago. And today as I returned together with both of them, I said to Adrian and Eugene, I said, looking at Simon after 10 years, I've not seen Simon for 10 years, but looking at him this time, I say he has grown, he has matured. You can see a change that has come over him. When I first saw him, there were areas of his life that were still needing tightening. And today I can see that those areas that were loose, those areas that were not tightened, are tightened today. So I believe that God has laid in his heart what was spoken 10 years ago by me, and that became something that lingered in his heart. And the Lord took that as a seed and saw the value of those things that were sown in his life through Art's ministry, and also in addition to what was spoken by me. And upon those values, God began to take those relationships and take it further. Always remember, relationships can only go further because spiritual values are harvested by God. You know why so many of our relationships have not grown? Because we have not taken time to cultivate spiritual values. All right? We've neglected spiritual values. We have squandered spiritual values. And that's why today so many of our relationships has gone no further, because God sees no reason to activate it. All right? To revitalize it. To rejuvenate it. And so I asked him, why do you contact me again? He says, because of the word that you preach. And I said, what was the word that I preach? He said that God shall be like a dew to Israel. Remember the prayer I just prayed before I finished? He said that you preach on this dew from heaven. God said to Israel through Hosea, I think, that I shall be a dew unto Israel. He said that has lingered with all of us for a long time. We used to sit down from time to time and talk about what you shared. So anyway, so that took time to mature, and that was why the door got open again in Uganda. And you just heard. I wish something that I always said when I returned from countries like this, we can't communicate to you the spirit of the moment. The spirit of the word. By the way, all the messages are recorded. They will be burned into a CD-ROM called a Ugandan Conference. You can have it at some point when it's all tidy up. You can listen to the word. I know that you will be blessed and you'll be encouraged. But in order to tap into the spirit of that word, of all those relationships that you saw in the pictures, it's hard to communicate it to you unless you're there. And so it has been a very momentous time for all of us, for me in particular. And there's something phenomenal about Africa. It's almost as if that I don't think I've ever had a response as far as the ministry of the word is concerned like I see them in Africa. Not here in Malaysia. Definitely not in Sri Lanka. Not in the Singapore. Not in India. Not in Nepal. Not in Sweden. Not in Denmark. Not in Australia. Not in some of these countries. But let me say this here to you. Outside of Mongolia, Africa is ranked number one when it comes to the response of the word. I don't know what is it. I don't know what is it that is so unique about the hearts of the African. I think we can put in so many factors. I was just kind of like in random talking as we were traveling, suffering perhaps. You know, it's a continent that have suffered. It's a continent that have known sorrows. It's a continent that have known pain, bloodshed, and it's a continent that, however human ability and human power has gone into to make it better, you know, continents everywhere you go to gets better, isn't it? Huh? Every time when you invest money, when you get government, when you get through process, governmental processes and politics, whatever, is always for the betterment of mankind. There's something about Africa that however you pour human efforts into it or human energy into it, it just sucks everything down. It just won't happen. Now I'm not saying this as a absolute statement for all. I suppose if you go to Johannesburg and Cape Town, well, tremendous, you know, development, or Lagos, Nigeria, another one. But 95% of the African nations are in such condition, in such dire condition. So could it be that? I don't know. But there's something about the whole reception, the whole versatility, all right, the responsiveness, the conduciveness of the hearts of the African. Now, I can only think of one thing. I can think of that as a continent, there is something in which God is after for the last days. Now, I believe that there will be a highway that will be opened, you know, from South Africa all the way to Egypt, you know, for Israel's return in the final suffering, in the final tribulation, or the great tribulation that Jesus talked about, that there will be a highway of holiness. The Jews will find themselves in flight in the last days, and nation, countries like Africa will be poised in the last days to receive them. And because Africa is ready, all right, the church in Africa will be ready by then, and we're seeing a measure of that in our time there. So we were not in touch with the thousands and tens of thousands. We don't need to. We were just in touch with a handful. All right? And just with a handful, the Simon and the Lawrence and the William, you know, and the Vincent, and I believe Joseph too, the Joseph that Eugene talked about, that I'm seeing a future that is now certain, that these men and women will form the remnants of the last days as we move towards the end. You know, it's remarkable because Eugene read from Matthew 24:14, and if you read Matthew 24:14 again, I said something like this. I think this is where I broke into a statement in that scripture that Eugene kind of picked it up, and it was absolutely dynamic. It was absolutely revelatory, because Jesus said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, you know, to the world, all right, as a witness in every nation, all right, until then, or until and after that. Until this happens, then the end cannot come. So the end of all things hinges on this, it hinges on the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom to every nation. Now, this is what I said to the church there. I said, the gospel has been preached. The gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached. I don't believe today, as it was 50, 60 years ago, where I was still hearing as a young kid, you know what? There are still areas in the world that the gospel has not reached. I believe that the gospel has reached every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, and every nation. I don't think that there is any now, any more place or location or locale that is not reached by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that. I know that a friend of Mayping is somewhere in the mountain tribes in Philippines who is translating even the Bible for such a tribe, all right? Which is so, what do you call that? Which is just obscure. You won't even think about this tribe. And yet, there are people today through the Wycliffe establishment that have gone into that tribe to translate the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So proving that the gospel has been preached to the four corners of the world. And this is what I said to the people there in Uganda. But I believe, this is what I believe, but I believe that the gospel has not truly been preached as it should be preached. I think the gospel today has been either polluted, the gospel has been half preached, has been insufficient, has been partial. I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ has not been preached in all of its fullness. And there can only be fullness of the gospel or the fullness to the gospel only when the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. And I believe that this is one of God's final push. This is one of God's final work in the nations of the world, which I believe that people like us are just only one of the many voices that God has raised up. Everywhere that I believe that men are being raised by the Lord to restore and to once again proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. And I think that is exactly why on day number one, I don't need no introduction, I need no preambles, I need no laying of grounds or foundation to anything that I was saying. You know why? It's because I think the nation was ready. The hearts of those Ugandans were ready to take this in. And it was remarkable, folks. I mean, from session number one to the last session, the way in which the creative word and the whole spontaneity of the word that came was just remarkable. And even their sessions were just the whole connection of the flow that God gave to us there. And so, what can I tell you? It's impactful. And the doors that now perhaps stands before us, we're going to watch and see how these doors are going to open. And so, Rwanda being the most obvious of all, and I think you guys know my heart. And rightly said when Eugene said that, I don't want to go back to Africa. I don't want to go back to Africa. Every time when I see those food that was served at the conference, I look at it. You're not hungry. You know? I can tell you afterwards when I have lunch, when I see those foods, I'm hungry. I don't even know what I'm going to have for lunch, but I'm really hungry. But when I see those food every day, I'm not hungry. We eat is because, you know, we need to have some energy for work. We eat is because it's hospitality. And it costs a lot of money for them to prepare these food. And they have not asked a single cent from us. All right, they have not asked a single cent from us. And it was a privilege for us to serve and to do what we can to help. No, I don't want to go back to Africa. But with the current situation, with what could happen, with what the Lord would want and desire, I'm more than willing to return. And there's a imminent a possible door to Rwanda, which to me is so important because I have Rwandan pastors, not just Vincent, But along the way, we met a couple of them. One of the last one was by a name, by a sister. Her name is Carol. You don't see it in the picture here because I was in another church that was preaching. And I don't know who she was. She was sitting in the church. She used to be a full-time worker in Kigali. Kigali is the capital of Rwanda. He was in the church for 7 years. He worked there because he said that her mother was Rwandan. Her father was Ugandan. So she found herself in the church in Kigali and worked there for 7 years. And this is what she said, because I remember in my last meeting there, I broke down and I wept. And they were recording this. And this is what I said to the camera. I said, I wish that this message will travel across Uganda, into Rwanda, and into all of the nations of Africa. I said, you need to listen to this. And because this is what I said. I said, if the Church of Jesus Christ have not learned what have happened in 1994 with the massacre and the genocide of Rwanda, and I believe if the church have not truly considered this in the depths of our hearts as a church, why? It's because the killing field of the genocide in Rwanda was the church. The church was the ground and the place where these murders took place. Christians were involved in the killing. Pastors were involved in the killing. I said that if we don't learn from this, if the church in Africa do not take heed into this warning that has occurred in 1994, which is only 25 years ago, and this is what I said, that I believe that at some point, countries in Africa have to learn it again. That what have happened in Rwanda may soon even well be that will happen again. And when I said that, this pastor went up later and said, he said that this was a message that was not compromised, because if this man compromised, he wouldn't have said what he said. And but because he was brave and he did not compromise, this is what he said. His name is Frederick. He said that this is a word not just for Uganda, this is a word for our continent. So this is just after what I said. As I pointed the camera, I said that this word has to go out. Please help to distribute this word and send this word to whoever, whom you ever you know across this country. So Carol told me, he said that for 25 years, the Ugandan government has been trying to work on a program called reconciliation between the Hutus and the Tutsis. The Rwandan government have been trying to work a reconciliation program. It's a national program to bring Hutus and Tutsis together. So it seems that on the outward, everything looks very successful. But she said, I've been in the church for 7 years. I'm telling you now, sitting in the church, the Hutus and the Tutsis are still not friendly. The hatred and the anger for one another is still there to this very day. He said that what has made it even worse is because the program has actually helped to shield the reality of what it's really in their hearts. So she was one of the last that spoke to me about Rwanda. Now, we're hoping that once the door opened, so we were kind of like, you know, one stone killed two birds kind of a thing. We'll do Uganda and then we'll do Rwanda. And that's the advice that Simon gave to us, that don't just come for Uganda. If you're coming for Uganda, then make sure that you set time even for Rwanda or vice versa. So here we are, folks. As I said, that it was momentous. We have some reports coming back from the churches now, from some of the leaders, that has been very encouraging. We will encourage by the warmth, by the authenticity of hearts. We felt love. We felt friendships in a deep way. It's just remarkable that in a short time of 7 days, just on the premise of the word, it has brought relationships and brought hearts to such a place with us. So we were really moved. We were very thankful. And I just can't tell you the whole spirit of things there. But my joy this time round was to bring Eugene and Adriel to experience this on their own. And so it's wonderful to know that, you know, that they now see this, that they can incorporate this now into their vision, into their hearts. And so you're not just having to hear from me. You can hear them say now. So we're looking forward in the days to come. We give you the reports as and when they come. And good news is, so we went scouting yesterday, a whole afternoon of yesterday. So we promised that this year our conference was up in the hill. Next year is going to be near the beach. So we took a trip down to Port Dixon. So we're scouting for a location for next year's conference, and I think we've basically confirmed the place. All right? So some of you here, you all know a place called Golden Sands Baptist Center. That's the location. Yao Pang Yao Tai. It's cheap, it's convenient, and it serves our purpose. And you know what? We need to sponsor this ministry. We need to sponsor a lot of them to come for the conference next year. And good news is, Simon and Lawrence is coming next year for the conference. You get to see both of them, God willing. We're to help them. We're to help them do whatever we can to get the air tickets. We have to help them to sponsor them completely for the conference next year. But they're coming. And because it's so expensive, they can't bring their wives. It's just impossible because it's just too expensive. So they're just coming on their own as pastors and leaders. So we're going to see them in the conference next year. So, but that's the location, Port Dixon. All right. What's the date? June the 3rd to the 7th. So Christy, you can plan way ahead. Christy said that this time round, yes, it's school holiday. Christy said that she's not going to miss it. Eric suffered, so you better don't. So be there for the conference next year. Start to invite friends. It could be a very important strategic time for us. So folks, I want you to know that it has been a tremendous trip. It has been absolutely of great value. And the timing and the sense of the anticipation, not just for now, but a sense of that which is to come. And almost as if that there has been a union, a sharing, and an agreement of hearts between us and those pastors in some very precious way. All right? And so the doors that have been set, you saw Joseph, who is an evangelist, and he wants us back to address 200 evangelists in an evangelist conference. That is definitely open. We see where this will go. You see the Rwandan pastor who was there by the name of Vincent. He runs 7 districts and bring all the churches together on a yearly basis for a conference. February of next year, he's bringing 500 of them together. So he has invited me to go back there. Again, that is another door that stands open. We see where it will go. All right. And then, of course, with Rwanda, they were talking about Burundi and Congo. I said, not too far, please. I'm having a problem trying to adjust in Uganda. They're talking about, you know, Kenya again, suppose, because I have some friends in Kenya, Nairobi, hope to contact them again, that I'm deeply concerned about. I'll share with you later some of the things that we're deeply concerned with the church in Africa. All right? You know what is a sad thing, folks? Look up here. The very thing that they dread there, the very thing that the African, true African pastors are moaning and dreading about. Today, the Malaysian churches are inviting these people into our country. The very thing that these African true pastors and ministers are dreading, are heartbroken about, are the same people that our churches in Malaysia will invite to come here. That's the state. That's where we are today as a nation. That's where we are as a church in our country. What does it say? What does it say for a modern country and a church that's supposedly to be even better than most nations? I was shameful when I saw that. I was ashamed of the church here. Do you see today the travesty, the immaturity today, the spiritual delusion and the blindness. It took the African pastors to know better, who lives in such poverty and lacks and all the poverty of heart and of spirit. So what I'm just saying is that why is it that those nations, those countries in Africa today who are now in those kind of a state, in those depravity, in those, what do you call that? has now become our imports, you know, for us to use for our ministry, for our churches and here in our time. So again, it is indeed the remnants in the last days. So we're thankful that we have the privilege of connecting with just the few of them. And I think that the way things are going, this is part of the distinctive of our work and what the Lord has done for us here. So the Lord has given us the privilege to meet with the remnants in the nations, the Ruans and the Prabhas, the Suits and the Pagis, the Simons and the Laurens and the Williams and the Vincents and the Joseph. So may the Lord do this. All right, folks. So for you, for us here today, see where we are. See where we fit today. See what has become, what has indeed become of the kingdom in our lives. All right. What has it become? What has the kingdom, what has the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ become in us? And until we understand that, and I think we just have a recent conference in June for us to reflect. So folks, I just want you to know that we carried this in June with the conference just finished. We went over to Africa and we saw the whole aspect of that kingdom being made manifest and declared and preached. I tell you, I barely must have half an hour standing on the first session, and I was really lifted in my spirit. Very rare do I get the privilege to stand before a crowd and preach for barely about 10, 20 minutes, and then your spirit is absolutely lifted up. And can you imagine? It all happened in the hut. It wasn't even in the ballroom conference, a five-star hotel. It all happened in a hut. I could never get this in any place, any spot that I have been in ministry for the last 40 old years. So Africa. All right, Africa. What a place. And it will be a place that will yet have stories that will come out in the coming days, heading even towards the last days. Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're thankful, not just that we have safely returned, but far more than that is the ongoing working of the Spirit in the lives of your people in Africa. Thank you for those men. Thank you for those faces. Thank you for those lives. Thank you for those families. Thank you for the Church of Jesus Christ that you have raised up there in Uganda, in Kampala, in the outskirts. Thank you for Simon, for Lawrence, for William, for Vincent, for Joseph. Lord, the many more, for Jillian. God, we thank you. We thank you for each one of them. Thank you for the strategic time of which, Lord, spiritual values that has been sown in that nation, Lord, has not been forgotten. It has taken roots and now it has bore fruits. We thank you. It has connected lives first with you and you with them. And now it has connected even human lives with one another across the sea and across the ocean, between a Chin and a Simon, between an Adro and a Vincent, between a Eugene, Lord, and a Lawrence. Thank you for the connections. And look at us. Lord, it is a nation that we would not even want to go back by our natural choices. or preferences, but yet, Lord, it is spiritual values. It is eternal values. It is the eternal purposes of God, Lord, that bring lives together, that brings meaning to our existence, and give us a sense of the future, Lord, with such hope in our hearts. We thank you. May you bring to pass, Lord, whatever you desire in the coming days for Uganda, for Rwanda, perhaps for Kenya again. We never know, maybe for Congo one day, for Burundi, for all of these countries. But Lord, we thank you once again. That which has been given and sown into the lives of men and women there, the pastors and the leaders, Lord, it will not return unto you void. Watch over the word that it will continue to prosper and it will fulfill and set in motion of the things that you would desire for all of them. My God, we thank you. As you first sowed it 10 years ago, and look at where this has come. And so, in like manner, that which has been sown in the past 7 days, Lord, you will watch over it so that it will come forth and return to you with such satisfaction that it will be a reflection of all of your workmanship in the Church of Jesus Christ in Uganda. We thank you. We commit all of this in your hands. Lord, let our hearts here in Pure Stream Ministry continue to stay attuned, continue to walk in step, continue to walk circumspectly, continue to allow the kingdom to do its work in us, continue to let all of its principles and dynamics, Lord, to fulfill the heart of the Father in us, so that, Lord, indeed, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, because your kingdom is come. For this we give you thanks. We give you praise. Thank you for each one here, and continue to rest your hand upon us in the succeeding days and the coming weeks as we begin to, Lord, share, as we begin to we begin to dive deep into areas of having to know, Lord, your heart and your mind, your counsel concerning this kingdom. Continue to teach us. We thank you and we bless you for our time here together, for that which you have graced us with, and for your presence amongst us here. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.